Interestingly, though, MDPI's annual report from last year said that it contributed more open access articles to the directory of open access journals than any other publishers.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
Great.
So, if that's true, obviously a lot less suspect than they may have been 10 years ago.
And they also apply Creative Commons licenses, which is really helpful.
Yeah, that's right. And it's unfortunate in some ways that there was a... You know, listen, there was some really bad stuff going on, as the one that you've said and the one that I've said and so on. And the first time I really came across this with an Australian business journal that somebody from Massey had published in. And I went and it had, you know, the website was yellow and green and it had a kangaroo on it. And otherwise I couldn't see any connection with Australia. So because all the people who'd honest to this extent, they were all based in, in Hong Kong, Singapore and through Asia, you know, and I'm going stone the crow's sport. I can't see any Aussies here. And you think, well, why would people do that? And then it clearly wasn't a very good journal. The guy said, I was really surprised to have that. They just accepted it with no changes. So it was really surprising. And I think some of the reason behind that sort of thing is that, you know, if you think of the world being full of millions of people who want to get an academic reputation, then just the sound of the citation, you know, if you've got a CV with, you know, the Australian Business Research Journal or whatever it is on, that's probably as far as many people are going to read, you know, your employer, or it's going to look nice on your website and so on. Mm. So I think people are willing to pay a couple of $100 for that. Mm. And again, there's a huge, a huge spectrum from the one that you described or the take me off your effing email list people through to, you know, BMC and MDPI and so on. Yeah, I mean, MDPI, I mean, I've just got this quote here, which is probably off Wikipedia. As of 2018, MDPI publishes 213 academic journals, including 37 that have received an impact factor. So that means they're in Web of Science. So it's a relatively low percentage of their output that really meets these kind of quality criteria that are set by the databases. And so there you, but you know, this doesn't mean that the other 186, is that right? Yes, it is right. The 186 journals, 176 journals aren't any good. It's just they're not necessarily of that quality. And we won't get on to talking too much about citations at the moment. We're going to come back, you'll be pleased to know, and do another podcast looking at citations and the relationship between open access and citation. But gold open access as a whole tends to be cited less than other forms of open access, or in fact than paywall publishing, just for that reason that there's this big tranche of stuff which is all right, and it's a publishing channel for people, but you know, it's not necessarily of that kind of tier one, tier two quality.
Right.
Okay. Righto, moving right along in our historical review. And we're gonna finish shortly, I think. 2012, the Finch Report. This was the British government, Dame Margaret Finch, was it? Dame Janet Finch, thank you. Thank you.
Sociologist from Manchester.
Okay, thank you. Oh, interpolation of some facts in it. J is near M in the alphabet. I don't have any notes on this, so this is purely anecdotal, but I believe what happened is that there was somebody who had been either a member of parliament or was a businessman who had written a book somewhere about 2007, 2008, and he was not affiliated with anywhere, and he sat down to write this book on whatever and found that, lo and behold, he couldn't get hold of any of the articles. because he didn't belong to a university. He wasn't a student anywhere. And people kept saying, read this, read that. And he couldn't get hold of them. So he found this irritating. And, you know, then at some point along the line, he got elected to the parliament in the UK, you know, that well-known and much-loved body. And back in the days when it was still a functioning unit, he was able to influence them to say, hey, I've heard about this open access publishing, why aren't we doing this? And because it was a Tory government, they were influenced by the business model and by publishers. So the Finch Report concluded, I'll quote here, Finch Report concluded, open access is the best way to expand access to published research findings. Favoured a model of gold open access in which journals charge article processing charges. So the Finch Report, much to large numbers of people's horror, came down in favour of open access publishing because a lot of the people in the open access movement were greenies, you know, following the Harnett model.
Yes.
And clearly, you know, gold open access, and particularly the fact that they pushed hybrid gold, was seen as putting money in the hands of publishers who were already making money out of selling subscriptions.
Yes.
So that was quite a major disappointment.
And they probably could only make those recommendations because, as you mentioned earlier, Bruce, the number of research councils in the UK, the number of philanthropic bodies that are prepared to pump money into getting the AAPC.
That's okay. Right. Yeah, there's the Wellcome Trust and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So you know, the Britain, you know, particularly science is quite kind of centralised.
Yes.
Yeah. Relative to New Zealand, and probably other countries too, a bit more so in Australia. But that's had a big impact. I've been running my program and gathering data on the amount of percentage of the outputs of different universities that is available open access, and New Zealand universities hover between 35% and 45% of their stuff is open access after a couple of years. British universities, it's 60% would be low.
Yes.
You're looking at 60% to 80% through the use of repositories as well. They do that a lot,
yeah.
The primary driver has been gold OA, and particularly hybrid OA.
Right.
And see, the hybrid thing also, they are able to get the reputation of those subscription journals. So for scholars, that's quite a thing. That probably pushes down the quality of the pure gold OA journals, that people, you know, faced with a choice will then go for a hybrid journal with a high impact factor.
Yes.
So I'll just quote here, hybrid gold is still the most popular with UK researchers. Pure gold OA is increasingly popular. In 2016, the proportion stood at 70-30. So 70% was hybrid, 30%. And concern about this is driving Plan S, which we've said we won't talk about today, but we will talk about in the future.
Yeah.
So philosophically, I kind of go backwards and forwards between gold and green because it's so hard to get the accepted manuscripts out of academics for green.
Yeah.
And so kind of at the end of the day, if we believe in making it openly available, then maybe gold in a reputable journal that is legitimate is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, see, the reason that institutions, and you were saying before, Catherine, about the fact that, you know, New Zealand, Australia, you know, the universities don't like the hybrid model, is that the hybrid model manages to give us the worst of both worlds. One of the big hopes of the OA movement, you know, when it started, was that libraries would be able to cancel journals and that or that journal prices would be forced down. And, of course, hybrid OA doesn't give you any of that. We can't cancel stuff. Because you only get that which has been paid for.
Yeah.
need to be either one or the other, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a quick romp through Gold OA, and it's gold, it's
2012.
Good. Yep. Okay. Up to 2012, 2013, and lots has happened since then, but we haven't done our study on it so far.
Yeah.
But the Finch report was really the last big one, and you know the next thing will probably be whatever happens with Plan S, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll be back to talk about. We might talk about citations next time, and then get on to do a kind of general wrap up and maybe look at Plan S and make some incorrect prognostications. Okay, thanks very much.
Bye.